Brethren, friends, neighbors, let's share God's word this morning. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, please. And I want to begin, even though we're studying 24 and 25, I actually want to begin in verse 13 of Matthew 16. Now, Jesus had gone through a dust up with the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so it eventually becomes a question to the disciples. Now, here we are at Matthew 16, 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" That is the most important question of every age. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter," that means a rock, "and upon this big rock, this mountainous rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." So Jesus talks about his death and his resurrection. And so now Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, I'm going to read on for a bit. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." He goes on to say, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing right here right now who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Well, let's go back to Matthew 16 and verse 24. You know, Jesus says kind of an important word that starts this whole conversation off. If anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to follow me, other translations say. Do you desire to follow Jesus? Do you desire to follow Jesus every day, today, every day, all the days of the week, all the days of the month, every day of the year, every year that you are alive? Or have you decided in your heart that you're going to follow Jesus? Now, when you follow someone, you got to be really careful. If you like a particular college professor and you want to follow his teaching, then maybe you're really into physics or really into language arts. So whatever it is that you're really into college with, you got a good professor, you follow that guy. He's a good teacher. You want to follow him. In the day of the first century, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me or follow me, that he's going to have to do something. So following means, in this case, that I'm going to find out what Jesus says. And then I'm going to ask the question, is it true? Is Jesus truly the Son of God? And is what he said really the truth of the matter from God? And once you answer that question, and I'll just tell you a secret, study the resurrection, and you'll find out that Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll find out what he said was absolutely true. Following Jesus means you make a decision that you're going to do that. Whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. And it's going to require me to give up my own way of life. Now, here we are in Matthew 16, verse 24. And let me change this for just a moment to the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Because it says something quite a way that makes utterly sense. It helps us to understand. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. But what does it mean to give up your own way? Whatever sins that beset me, and we can kind of sort of figure this out, if there's any lust within us, lust of the flesh, if there's any lust of the eye that trips you up, and even if your own ego, your own arrogance gets in the way, then you cannot follow Jesus. That means my heart has to change. It has to be transformed. It can be changed, but the heart really needs to be transformed into following Jesus. The mind follows. A lot of salespeople will tell you that if you can get a person hooked emotionally, the sale will always follow. The mind will give in to the emotion. So the mind gives in to the thought of enveloping ourselves within Jesus. Certainly our soul is involved, and certainly our physical strength is involved. For every day I use my strength to wake up, get out of bed, do my daily routine, do the things that I need to do throughout the day, and then lay my head down on the pillow at nighttime. And even then, I know, because I believe that I'm a Christian, I know that Jesus is watching over every one of us as we sleep. Christians are protected by Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that no tornadoes, no hurricanes, none bad stuff, no fire is going to affect your life. It will. I'm just telling you that Jesus watches over us and in spiritual ways protects us. So it says then, I'm going to have to change or give up my own way. Now consider Paul the Apostle. Excuse me. He is an absolutely great example. I'm turning in my Bibles, and I hope you do too, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 4. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, that is to be with God, if anyone could, indeed others, if others have reason to for confidence in their own efforts, I even more. Well, why is that, Paul? Well, I was circumcised the eighth day. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so jealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as all garbage so that I could gain Christ. Now let me switch back to the New American Standard. So what did Paul have to give up? Well, let's see here. Even though that he was born a Jew, and I suppose that you can never get away from that. That's not something that you can change. You're either born a Jew or you're not. Even so, Paul gave up his Jewishness so that he could become Jesus'ness. Do you understand what I'm following? He became what Jesus wanted him to be. That happens in Acts 9, verse 6, by the way. And so he goes on to say, so he was circumcised the eighth day, that's what Jews do, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees
had strict obedience to the entire Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ruth, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the Old Testament prophets, the Pharisees believed arduously in all of these things. Just to give you a contrast, the Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what they believed in, and they weren't having none of the rest of the Old Testament. So you can see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were often at odds with one another. Sometimes, in this situation, in this first century situation, they teamed up to find ways to destroy Jesus, the Christ. So, I'm going to have to give up my things, myself. All right? What did he give up? Well, he gave up his position in the Pharisees. So he gave up his job. He gave up his calling as a Pharisee. He gave up being a ruler over Israel. He gave up his funds that were gathered as a Pharisee. He gave up his position in the community of Israel. He threw all of that away. And what does he say about that? He says that all of these things that I once was, all of these wonderful positions that I held, all the money that I once had, they're trash. They're pure garbage because I value knowing Jesus Christ. That is the utmost of every person's desire, or at least it should be. I want to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I can ask you the same question. Do you? Don't you want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection and rise on that last day to be with the Lord forever and ever? Then what else? What else does Jesus say in Matthew 16 in verse 24? He says, I'm going to have to take up my own cross. That means I'm going to have to be crucified. Crucified. I have to have those nails in my hands. I have to have those nails in my feet. And I've got to hang there on the cross. But I want to tell you, not physically, but internally, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, I have to be crucified so that I will die because I want to be Jesus' follower. So who I am, what I am, as of and in myself, I've got to crucify myself. Do you want to crucify yourself this morning? Have you been crucified for the cause of Christ? Will you be crucified every day for what Jesus is telling you? Let me tell you what Paul said again. This time in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. If you've never memorized a single verse in your entire lifetime, I suggest wholeheartedly that you memorize this verse. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, you know, Paul was never nailed to a cross. But he says that he has been crucified. And if he's been crucified, he's been put to death. Inwardly speaking, that is. And he goes on to say, it is no longer I who live. All that stuff I counted as trash, that's still trash. Whatever I come along today that I find that gets in my way, it's just trash. Whatever I think that I might want to do for myself, that's just trash. Whatever it is that I want to do in terms of religion that's not in accordance with what Jesus said, that's just trash. There are a lot of things that can pull us away from our crucifixion. But we need to remain crucified in Christ Jesus. So he says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Have you ever seen anybody with a dad and his son? And you look into the son's face and he says, you are of your dad. You are your dad's son. The likeness is so strong, I can tell, that your dad and you had the same genes. Not blue genes, genetic genes. So beyond that, then we need to find out what this is all about. Christ lives in me. So people need to look at me, and I'm not speaking this arrogantly, or if you're a Christian, people need to look at you and see Jesus in you. By the things that you say, by your demeanor, by the way that you act, by the way that you do things, by the time you take throughout the day to pray to Jesus. Because we have religious freedom in this country, I note that the Muslims will take time off from work so that they can roll out their prayer rug, get down facing the east, and they will pray 6 times a day. Now, how many times of that is throughout the day, the actual work day, work a day time? 1 Thessalonians says that we should pray always. So we don't need a prayer rug. We don't need to face east. We just need to pray. And you can talk to Jesus anytime that you want to. You can tell him what's bothering you, even the littlest things. You know, work today, Jesus, is just really, man, that guy made me so angry, Jesus. And yet, I know, Jesus, I had to get that out of my heart. That's just trash. And I need to respond the way that you did to those who would crucify you. Whatever the case might be, whether you're at school, whether in jail, whether at the courthouse, whether at some other place, you need to have Jesus live in you. Paul goes on to say in verse 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. And if you look that word up, get a Bible dictionary, that word faith can also mean trust. As a matter of fact, if you have faith that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he said the words that he said and they're true, and if you can believe in the resurrection, that will bring you faith. Romans 10:17, take a look at that. Get your Bibles out. Take a look at Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you're a practiced Christian, that is, if you're a mature Christian, you're going to find out, I hope soon and quickly, that faith means absolute, complete, total trust. It is a fact. I'm going to die. Hebrews 9:27 tells me it is the way of every man to die, every person that is to die. But then after that comes the judgment. So I might be a little bit concerned about that judgment. So I want to live as if Christ lives in me. And then I come to trust that Jesus will get me home. Now, Satan, one of his names is the accuser. If you take a look, Bible dictionary, look at that. The accuser. He accuses the brethren night and day. Once again, if you're a Christian, he's talking to God the Father right now, and he's telling God what a rotten person you are. Right? That's what accusing personality does. But you see, when you get up there to judgment, and Jesus is going to judge everyone, and if the accuser, that is the devil, says, look at Garland, Jesus. Look at all the horrible, horrible things he's done. And yet he wants entrance into heaven. Surely you're not going to let this guy into heaven. My answer is, I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that Jesus knows, God the Father knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and even Satan knows that I'm going to be admitted into heaven because I have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. Got to finish up this verse, though. I live by trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then that word follow. We talked about that. In the first verse, or the first part of the verse, it talked about if anyone wants to follow me. And then here's what you do. You put everything that's trash in your life for the value of knowing Jesus and following him. And then you crucify yourself. And then at that point, then you can follow Jesus. And that must be your goal. Otherwise, I can't think of a reason why you're here on the earth. Because it's all about Jesus. Did you know God was the architect back in Genesis 1? But Jesus was the creator. To speak in vernacular, Jesus manufactured the earth. And he manufactured souls. Oh, I know. God, it says that God did that. And I get that. And I understand that. I agree with that. But from the teachings that we get, God designs, Jesus does. And so even you, before you were born, I'm imagining, because I don't have any Bible truth of this. I don't know this. But I'm just imagining that while you were waiting to be born, God decided, I want this person to exist, and I want him to have these attributes. And Jesus says, okay. And when you are conceived, that's what Jesus did. He put all that God stuff in you. And so we naturally should relate to the God of heaven. But many people don't. Why? Because they're living the trash of this world. They're consuming it. They're eating it. They're not putting away that trash for the absolute better life that is in Jesus Christ. Well, I want to turn back now to Matthew chapter 16. Because it's time for what we call the invitation. Verse 26. Jesus gives the invitation. He gives this invitation today at every worship appoint, at every Bible class, at every meeting, and of every day of the hour. What will it profit a man? What can you possibly gain from this world but lose your own soul? You see, the soul is more important. Your soul is more important than any amount of money. I think I've told you this before. Back in the day when I was growing up, J. Paul Getty was the richest man on earth. He was an oil dude from the UK. J. Paul Getty. He had billions of dollars. Everybody else had millions. He had billions. But he died. So he had, let's say he had all the wealth of the world at his disposal. It did him absolutely no good before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's your invitation today. Are you going to follow Jesus by crucifying yourself? Counting your life as rubbish, trash, so that you may walk that way to heaven. This morning, if you agree with that, if that's your heart and mind, please come forward and talk to me while we stand and sing the invitation song.
Days are few.